Now let's continue on and see how Paul wrote back to the church of Corinth and was admonishing them as to what to do. Because though there were a lot of people there, the church at Corinth ended up being one of the most problematic churches the Apostle Paul had. And so if you want to read a book of quite a bit of correction, read 1 and 2 Corinthians, and you will see that contained in these two books are all the problems that you find prophesied of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now, Jesus said he would build his church. When you're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God, you are baptized into the body of Christ, and you are a member of the church of God, not the corporate structure. See, no corporate structure is the church of God. Corporate structure is merely to do business in the world. That's it. Corporate structure has no spiritual application to the brethren. The elders do, and the ministers do. So the church we're talking about here is a church that Christ said that he would build, and the gates of the grave would never overtake it. Okay? Now here in Corinth, where there were a lot of people, Paul writes to them, let's come to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Because now that you're baptized, you are what is called a babe in Christ. That doesn't mean you're born again, because born again does not happen until the resurrection. But in understanding, you are a novice. That's another way of putting it. Okay? And you have to learn. And so Paul puts into perspective those new people and the ministry and how they work together, and what each individual is to do. So let's begin right here in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, was not able to speak to you as those who are spiritual. Now, those who are spiritual are those who understand the Word of God, who have lived the way of God for years and years and years. They are the ones who spiritually discern. They are the ones who have used the Spirit of truth, etc. But as to those who are carnal, even as to babes in Christ, I gave you milk to drink. Now, that's what it's called back there in 1 Peter, the second chapter. The spiritual meat whereby you can grow. Because from now on, it's growing, overcoming, changing, growing, overcoming, changing. See? All the rest of your life. I gave you milk to drink and not meat. Well, the new book we put out contains a lot of meat. The book, Lord, What Should I Do, is milk. You see the difference. Okay? Now, those who are on milk are to gradually grow and grow and grow so that they can understand more and more and more. That's why Sabbath services. That's why assembling together. That's why we have church at home. Because there are a lot of people who can't attend church. So there's church at home. Okay. I gave you milk to drink and not meat, for you were not able to receive spiritual meat, and neither are you able now, for you are still carnal. For since envy, contention, division are among you, are you not carnal, and are you not walking according to human ways? Okay. They weren't changing the way they needed to change. They were not being led of the Spirit as God intended. When someone says, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Now, he puts the ministry then into its proper perspective in relationship to brethren, because we're all brethren together, see. That's why Paul, when he writes and he talks about things, he says, we, just like the Apostle John when he wrote the first epistle of John. We, including himself. Okay? Verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? They are but ministers through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. So God is in charge. Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, neither is he who plants anything. See, he did not put himself above the brethren, but to serve, but to help, but to encourage. Yes, and to correct. See, because we are to stand for the truth. The elders are to be guardians of the truth, guardians of doctrine, guardians so that because we're stewards of God's property, because all the brethren belong to God. See, that's why it's called the church of God. Nor he who waters. God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. But each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now that's talking two ways now. One, to the ministers who teach. Two, to the brethren who are taught. We all have our own labor. Okay? For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's husbandry, even God's building. As a wise architect, according to the grace of God that was given to me, I have laid the foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds upon it. Okay? Now, let me suggest right in your notes here, read Revelation 2 and 3, the messages, the letters. These are direct letters from Christ to the seven churches. And all of these enumerate the basic overall problems and challenges and difficulties that the churches of God will face down through history. Okay? So take heed how you build on it. Are you zealous? Are you hungry? Are you growing? Are you overcoming? Or are you complacent? Or are you lazy? Or are you trying to mix doctrines from strange religions? See? All of those are addressed in Revelation 2 and 3. For no one is able to lay any other foundation besides that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now notice this. If anyone builds on this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. So there are two kinds of fruits you develop. Those that are precious, gold being the highest quality, silver being next. Precious stones are the next. And of course, are not all these things or what God is going to build New Jerusalem out of? Yes, indeed. These are depicting character. Character, then, is listed by the fruits of the Spirit. Now, if you're not building the way that you should, and you're using wood, hay, or stubble, all of those can be burned up. But the precious metals, gold and silver, and stones, they become greater when they go through fire. I don't know how many have watched that on the History Channel, you know, the Alaskan gold miners, if you've watched that. Well, when they get the gold, and it's amazing how they get it, but they get it, and they stack it up in a jar, and then they take it over to a smelter. And he puts it in one of these special, what would you call that? What do they make that out of? Special stone container that can withstand heat. And he fires it up to 2,000 degrees. And what he does, he puts in some things which will remove all of the impurities. And so then when it's all melted and everything is all mixed up, he takes it, sets it off, and he pours it out into a little thing to form an ingot, thank you, and the impurities rise to the top, and they're scraped away. All right? Now, that's a very good example of what God wants to do with us. So, if we're zealous, if we're praying, if we're studying, if we're growing, we're overcoming, then the dross will rise to the top, and God will take it away. Same way with silver. Silver refined seven times. That's likened to the Word of God. Now, when we were in Idaho, we used to go out to this farmer's ranch, and he had back of his ranch. He had hundreds of acres, but we went up there to go. I forget what they call these stones now, but anyway, these are stones that are blown out of volcanoes, and while they're in the air, they form little almost balls or eggs. And you look at them and you think, oh, what an ugly stone that is, you know. So geodes. We're up there. Huh?
Geodes.
Geodes, yeah, thank you. So he's taking us up there, and he says, "Here, I want to show you something." So he had this little hammer. Took it out of his belt, and he held this stone in his hand, and he went, crack! Opened it up, and here are beautiful crystals inside. Mm-hmm. See? And that's a perfect example of what God wants. The outside may be perishing, but the inside is growing beautiful crystals, gold, silver, precious stone. See? So this is what he's liking it to. Because you see, everything that has to do with our relationship with God has to do with our minds and with our hearts, has to do with our attitudes, has to do with our study, has to do with prayer, has to do with our relationship with each other, our relationship with husband and wife and children, our relationships even with the world. Okay, now here's a promise, verse 13. The work of each one shall be manifested, for the day of trial will declare it. You will be tested, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall prove what kind of work each one's is. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Well, out here, going on the way to Hollister, and all of you coming in to services from up north, you come up Highway 25. Well, there was this rancher who had alfalfa fields, and he cut it and then baled it, and he stacked his big stack right close to the highway. And so some smart aleck kids come along and they get a Molotov cocktail, you know, going 25, 30 miles an hour, throw it over there, step on the gas out of there. And I remember seeing them stacked up there. And I thought, that's not a good place to put your hay. So a couple of weeks later, I drove by and here's this big pile of ashes, totally burned up. You know where he puts it now? Far away from the highway. At the other end of his field. See. If verse 14, if the work of anyone has, if the work that anyone has built endures, he shall receive a reward. If the work of anyone's is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. Because if they repent, then they will be saved. Even if what they've done is all burned up. Now notice verse 16, because this begins to tie in where we left off in John 14. He says, don't you understand that you are God's temple? Think of that. Remember where we started? Isaiah 66. Where's the temple you're going to build for me? No. Don't you understand that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? All of this is grace. Everything we are talking about is grace. So when it says, by grace you are saved, that is absolutely and totally true, but because it's the relationship between you and God the Father. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him, because the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks himself to be wise in this world, it doesn't matter how wise you are. Remember what Paul did when he went to Mars Hill, talking to the philosophers, the Epicureans, and the Stoics? He said, you know, I walked into this city, and I saw that you're very reverent to deities. And I walked past this memorial, which said, to the unknown God. They're so smart, they say, well, maybe we forgot one of them, so we're going to put a memorial to the unknown God. He says, him I declare to you, he's the one that made heaven and earth and all things. And of course, all these philosophers, you know, all right? If you're wise in the world, let him become a fool. Now, what is a fool in the eyes of the elite? Anyone who believes in God. Oh, you're so stupid and ignorant, see? That he may be wise in God's sight. Because in the final analysis, what's going to happen? You better get on God's side. God isn't going to come on your side. You got to get to God's side. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he entraps the wise in their own craftiness. And it's explained another way, this way. Give a person enough rope and they'll hang themselves. Himself, right? Okay. The traps that they lay are going to come back on them. And again, God knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, do not let anyone boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present, things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Now, how then do we begin yielding to God and develop the relationship with God so that God can begin creating in us the workmanship he wants in us so we can develop the fruits of the Spirit? Okay? Now, we have quite a few things that we do to help everyone. When someone requests to be on our mailing list, we send also that request to Jim and Betty. Jim sends them out. He has two regular letters, and he informs them that we have 6 study packs. Now, these are important because when you're newly baptized, you need to begin to learn the doctrines and truth. So we have these 6 study packs, which will take you from the beginning, being baptized, what is the Bible, how do you study the Bible, etc., how do you pray, what is grace, what is love, what is truth, all of those things, see? And so we send those out. And then in every one he sends out, he puts in their return envelope with a letter stating, if he sends out care pack number 1, and on it says, has their name and address, and says, I'm almost finished with care pack number 1. Would you send me care pack number 2? Or study pack, we call them. Used to call them care packages, okay? And in it, we have books, booklets, and we have all those things available, 1 through 6. Now then, for more detailed study in the Bible, we've got all the beliefs and doctrines of the New Testament church. You can study through that, and we have that in one of the study packs, don't we? All the sermons associated with that, okay? And as you go through some of the commentaries and appendices, it's going to tell you, how did we get the Bible? Where is God? Who is God? How does he inspire things? The appendices, we talk about all the necessary things. Who was Jesus? We have in there the Rome's challenge to the Protestants by Cardinal Gibbon, and that's, if you read that, that is really something. When a Catholic cardinal tells the Protestants that they are on a death-suicide mission if they say they believe the Scriptures and sola scriptura and they keep Sunday, which is a Catholic day, they are hypocrites and destined to death. That's by a Catholic. Okay. And he says, why don't you, since Sunday is a Catholic institution, come back home to Rome? Quit being a hypocrite. Okay. Then we have in there, what does it mean to be born of God? What does it mean to be born again? What are works of law? And then we have, if you want to start getting into some detailed studies now when you're ready for it, we have Appendix Z. Understanding Paul's difficult to understand scriptures. And there are some that are very difficult to understand, especially in the King James Version. Now, J. Jim gave me a list of all the things that we have. We have series that we send out, Hebrew series, Revelation series, Epistle of Romans, Beliefs of the New Testament Church, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping, God's Grace, Baptism, Keys to Answered Prayer. Want to know how to pray? We have 21 sermons and studies on keys to answered prayer. So you have all the information to study, all the information to know how to pray. The love of God, then we have the faith of God in another series, the Christian covenant of water baptism, washing of the water by the words. Here's what we have in care pack, the study pack number one. Lord, what should I do? 14 rules of Bible study. How did Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? Is God a Trinity? Mystery of the Trinity. When was Jesus born? Study pack number one, CD, and design of the Bible. Study pack number two, occult holidays or God's holy days, which? Most of them have already received that, so they don't necessarily get it if they've already received that. But what we do, every book we send out, we put in there an advertisement for another book and a coupon with a little box. Do you want to be added to our list? So then you're added to the list, and then we send it to Jim and Betty, and he's got all of these series, all of these study packs, other spiral-bound books which contain sermon transcripts. Now, this is a great way to study and learn, because you're learning by three ways all at once. You hear it, number one. You see it, number two. You read it, number three, all simultaneously. See, so the transcripts along with the CD sermons become very important tools. So here's what we have in study pack number two. The day Jesus the Christ died, transcriptions of beliefs and doctrine, beliefs of the New Testament church, Christmas, the greatest story never told, what is meant by works of law, and belief series is a set of three CDs. Okay, study pack number three. See how we progress. All of these are designed to help you progress. There has never been a real program like this in any church of God, and we have it. Then the study pack number three, God's plan for mankind revealed by his Sabbath and holy days. Then a Sabbath Sunday challenge, that's Rome's challenge. Which day is the true Christian Sabbath, the true Lord's Day? Then we have set of three CDs for God's plan for mankind. Remember, that's a thick book. 36 sermons. What is God's plan? What is God doing? And that's what people want to know. Why am I here? See? All of it's right there. Then we have the Holy Sabbath series, refuting Sunday keeping, and to eat out or not on the Sabbath. Study pack number four, harmony of the Gospels. All of these we send at no cost. See, God says freely give, and when you freely receive, you reciprocate, and you freely give, so that others can freely receive. Now, that's God's way of doing things. That's why tithes and offerings, okay? So we send the book, Harmony of the Gospels. By grace you have been saved. Now what? Grace of God in the Bible is the ministry, God's government. You are complete in Christ. 90 facts about God. Church government, which is then is two sheets, three pages. Created relationship. Follow a man, one and two. Forgiveness, grace 1-6. Is God a family? Spiritual shopping. What is the government of God? 1 and 2. Study pack number 5. The Christian Passover. Now you're graduating to more deep studies. Complete book on the Passover. Okay? Christ's last Passover, leaven or unleavened, defining the oneness of God. Passover ceremony, two Jehovah's of the Pentateuch and Psalms. This is spiritual warfare. And the study pack has 5 CDs. Then there are other things that we send out with it. 14, 15 Passover covenant verses to covenant with God. Could Christ have sinned? Faith in law, faith for salvation. God's love never fails. Justification by faith, 1-4. Lord or servant. Mystery of godliness, so you have suffered, 1-2. Table of the Lord versus table of demons. Passover of the rejected, to return to God, true fellowship, the will of God or man's. Study pack number 6. Count to Pentecost. All right. Now you're getting, see how all of these things are laid out. Everyone wants to know, well, what do Jim and Betty do? They work hard. See, in producing these study packs and the CDs and making the spiral books, Jim says he can't handle it much more anymore unless we get some more help. So when we get the other meeting room up, we're going to take the meeting room here and we're going to turn it into a spiral book production center. And the reason we have it is because for study. And all of these things are for study. With the spiral bound, you can open it up and it lays flat. You know, you don't want to be studying and you got to write something down, your book goes. And with the transcripts, you can mark them and everything. See? Now, with all of this, what we have found, when people ask for baptism, they know why they need to be baptized, and they know about baptism, and they are prepared because they have answered the call of God. We serve them with all of these things to help them to grow. See, Christ said, feed the flock, 3 times to Peter. Did he mean feed the flock? Yes. How do we do it? Well, we have all the tools today. We can do more to feed the flock and help everyone grow in grace and knowledge and come to the knowledge of Christ, grow in character, grow in understanding, grow in being able to resist the world, grow in understanding the Bible. Okay, study pack number 6. Count to Pentecost, invisible idol, 1-2. That was something. See, because too many churches get into idolizing the man. No, you worship God. Those who are elders and ministers serve from the sidelines. It's like a coach. A coach is the most important person in the team. How is he most important? Does he exalt himself? No, he gets the team involved in functioning and playing correctly. Okay? Judge Righteous Judgment. Mother of Harlots. Ooh, 32 pages. That's quite a booklet. True Meaning of Acts 2:1, Understanding God's Command for the Wave Sheaf. And there are 6 CDs that we will have. Count Pentecost chart, count to Pentecost, invisible idol 1, 2, 3, already mentioned that. Judge Righteous Judgment, already mentioned that. I stand corrected. Jim said that 6 CDs, everything in the study pack. Okay? And then the one on Key of David 1 and 2 and the Tabernacle of David. Okay? Now, let's look at some other things that we need to do. When you study, that's why. Now, I want you to come to the back of the Bible here. I want you to show how we designed the Bible. The Bible is put together in the proper order of the original inspired manuscripts, okay? The way that they were originally put together by Ezra for the Old Testament, by the Apostle John for the New Testament. Now, we have put together things for studying in the Bible. So the first appendices that we have in the Bible on page 1246 is the 14 rules of Bible study. Okay? Spiritual keys to understanding the Word of God. First thing, now that you have this Bible, what do you do with it? Well, you read the commentaries, you read the appendices, you study what's in the Bible. And it tells you how God put together the Bible. and how you are to study. And then it works its way through. We have the next one, structure of the book of Psalms, because Psalms are important for prayer. And then structure of the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs are important in understanding human relationships, see? Book of Proverbs, it's structure, design, and teaching. Then we get into things, very important things. New Testament was originally written in Greek. A lot of people don't understand that. Why in Greek? Well, the basic answer is it was the common language at the time, and God could not trust it to the Jews in Hebrew because they rejected Christ. But the New Testament doctrines are so precise. So God chose the Koine Greek, which is a precise language. Now, one of the professors at Cal State University told Willie Miller that when he was looking at the Bible, he says, I can tell that this was the New Testament, that it was translated by a Greek scholar, by looking at the English, because I can see the Greek through it, but also by the sentence structure of how it was translated. Okay? So I'll just pass that on for information, what it's worth. Yeah. Koine Greek was the common language of the whole business world. Even the Septuagint, that's Greek. Now, all right, there are quite a few other things that we can add to it, so we'll have one more in this series on after baptism. Now, what do I do? So we'll go ahead and end it here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.